Good morning and Happy New Year. I, along with Thomas, I agree with him. It is good to see you. I think of what an opportunity we have. We are blessed with the opportunity on the first day of a new year to be in worship to our God. Sometimes I think we pat ourselves on the back. Hey, I made it to worship. What? We were created for this. God seeks worshipers, and I want to be one of those, don't you? And so we don't congratulate ourselves because we happen to make it. You know what? You only have 52 of these opportunities in a year. Just 52. And you know what? We make it as convenient as we possibly can on ourselves. We're not asking you to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning, but you'd be at work by 8 o'clock in the morning, and you wouldn't miss it. But sometimes we have trouble even getting into Bible study at 9:30 in the morning, and we can find all kinds of excuses to justify it in our minds. We've got to, you have perfect attendance. You do. You have perfect attendance today. But why don't you set yourself a goal for perfect attendance in 2017? I'm talking Bible school. Well, you say, well, I've already messed that one up this morning. Well, okay, start next week. Start Wednesday evening with the being there. But don't just set yourself a goal for perfect attendance on Sunday mornings, but make it Wednesday evenings and Sunday evenings. You'll be there. You know, I got a daughter who is a teacher. And because she's a teacher, I get opportunities. I sat in an assembly here just a few months ago. I sat in an assembly. And I heard the first day of school, and I listened to this principal encourage the students for perfect attendance. And I thought, that's a great thing. He told them something like this. You know, you need to look at this as if this is your job. For as long as you're in school, this is your job, and you need to have perfect attendance. Now, you can get sick, okay, so from time to time, people get ill. They do. But if you're not ill, you need to be in the assembly. You need to be in school. You need perfect attendance. And he said, because someday you're going to be on the job someplace, and they're going to expect perfect attendance. Everyone expects perfect attendance. School does. Your workplace does. Except the Lord. Except the Lord. And it doesn't really matter with Him whether you're gathered with His people to worship Him or not. That's somehow become our attitude. We need to read our Bibles again. We need to read them. You know, if for no other reason, your being here, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10:24, one of the reasons you are to come together is to encourage one another toward love and good works. We're here to encourage one another to love throughout the remainder of this week. Here it is, the first day of the week, and we encourage each other to love and to good works. What are you going to do this week for the Lord? What good works are you going to be involved in? You know, if you're here, you can do that. You can encourage others toward love and good works. You may not just by being here, as we've talked about in Bible classes. You may not, but I'll guarantee you, if you're not, you can't. You won't. There's no way. It's an impossibility. You can only do it if you're assembled. And so the Hebrew writer says, don't forsake those opportunities. Don't miss those opportunities. There are just so many of them in a year. And so I want to encourage you, hey, make it your goal to be in every opportunity you can be, to assemble with God's people, to encourage them, and to be encouraged toward love and good works. God has blessed us this morning with at least one day in a new year. At least one day. I'm in it, and you are too. At least one day in a new year. But I want to talk to you about this morning, no more. No more time. I want you to, there's this interesting story. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 20. So I want you to open your Bibles with me there. 1 Kings 20. It's also recorded for us in Isaiah chapters 38 and 39. But we're going to do the majority of our reading from 2 Kings 20. And we'll just see what we can draw from this. 2 Kings 20. Here's the way it begins. Just get started with me in verse number 1. 2 Kings 20, verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you'll die and not live. Now here's a man who was sick to death, and someone, the prophet of God, comes and tells him, you're going to die and you're not going to live. Can you imagine that? You say, well, we all know we're going to die sometime. Yeah, but what if someone came to your house today and said to you, get things in order because you're dying. No more time. You're dying. Your time is up. What would you do? Would you think to yourself, well, you know, I need to run to the office and take care of a few things. Is that what you would do? Would you think to yourself, well, you know, maybe I need to call the bank. Maybe I need to see how much money I've got. Maybe I need to look at that last bank statement. Is that what you would do? Or would you call someone, you could call your family and tell them again how much you love them? Would you call someone maybe you've been on the outs with and say, you know, I'm dying today. Today's it. No more time. Today is it. And I don't want to go to my grave with that on my conscience. Or is that the way you would act? What kind of things would you do if someone came to you and said, no more time? Hezekiah got that kind of message. What would you do? I'll tell you what Hezekiah did. I mean, that's just found in verse number 1. But here's what Hezekiah did. In verse number 2, it says, And he, Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, Here's what Hezekiah did. He turned his face to the wall, wherever he was at. Maybe he was in his bedroom, like old Ahab was, and Ahab turned his face to the wall while he was laying in his bed. We're not told where he was at. Maybe he just turned his face to the wall. The important thing is he prayed. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed. And it's just a short prayer. I mean, he doesn't spend 30 minutes doing it. He doesn't spend, you know, an hour and a half talking to God about this. It's just this little short, little quick prayer. Notice it in verse number 3. Here's his prayer. And he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And I've done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now what's Hezekiah doing there? What's he praying for? I beseech thee, Lord. It's a prayer. What's he praying for? He's praying that the Lord will remember how he's lived his past life, how he's lived his life, conducting himself under the will of God. But in effect, he's asking for more time. Remember, you said no more time, Lord, no more time. Give me more time. Give me more time. Let me tell you where I'm headed toward it with this kind of thinking. And whether I get there or not, here's what I want you to think about. Why would Hezekiah want more time? Why do you want more time? God, give me another year. Make 2017 the best year ever. Why would you ask for more time if you're going to use it just like you've been using it? What would you do with it? You say, man, what would you do with another 15 years? Because God's going to give him another 15 years. What would you do with another 15 years? You say, well, I know what I'd do. I'd work hard and I'd save up a lot of money and I'd retire. Well, you've been doing that anyway. Why do you need another 15 years of that? You say, well, because I'm going to tell you, I've worked hard all my life. I'm going to retire and I'm going to travel. You've been doing that anyway. We can't keep you at home. You're always going on a vacation. You're always going on a trip. You're always going on a cruise. And you're going to retire and do more of that? Why do you need another 15 years? Why should God give you more time? If we're going to do the same thing you've been doing with it. You say, well, I'm telling you, I've worked hard all my life. I'm gonna retire and I'm going to sit back and do nothing. You're going to sit back and die is what you're going to do. A man's meant to work. A man's meant to use his days, every one of them. It was Robert David Thoreau who said, as if we can kill time and not injure eternity. We've gotten in our minds that, you know what? The best thing I could do with my life is just kill time. And we think that by killing time, we're not injuring eternity at all. Why do you want more time, Hezekiah? What would you do with it if you had it? And here we are, we face another year. Why would God give me another year if I'm going to waste it? If I'm not going to use it for his purposes, for his cause? Why would he bless me? And why would he bless you with another year? But Hezekiah offers this simple little prayer, and he wept sore. I mean, this isn't just some little, this isn't just shedding a few tears. This is one of those guttural, you know, groaning, weeping type things. I've done it. I can even take you to the times in exactly when it happened and the situation in which it happened. I've been there. And you have as well. If you haven't, you will. You'll experience it. You will. It's the nature of the world we live in. You will. You will. Almost back to my house. I mean, I had the blinker on to turn right into my driveway, and my cell phone went off, and I recognized the number. It's the rehab facility where my dad was at. And I thought to myself, he's not doing what they're asking him again. Hello, Mr. Riley? Yes. Mr. Riley, I'm sorry to have to tell you that your dad has passed away. What? I was just there. I was just there. I just left. I haven't even made it back to my house. I pulled into my yard and I experienced that, folks. And that's just one of the times in my life. And you have as well. Hezekiah wept sorely. Read with me now, verse 3. I beseech thee, O Lord, he says, verse 3. Remember now how I've walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court. So Isaiah gives him this message. They're in the palace of the king. He gives him this message. Isaiah turns to leave, and before Isaiah gets to the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again Tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Think about what's in that verse. Think about it for just a second. Isaiah brings this message, no more time. Hezekiah offers this little prayer. Oh, Isaiah turns to leave. Hezekiah offers this little prayer, and before he can get out to the middle court, the Lord has spoke to him and said, hey, go back in there. Go back in there. Give him this message. And here's one of the things he said. Tell him I've heard his prayer. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Have you ever prayed and just thought to yourself, I wonder whether God heard that? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have someone come in and say, hey, the Lord heard your prayer. The Lord heard your prayer. The fact is, God hears every prayer. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait a while. But he hears every prayer. Why do we wonder? But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be a marvelous thing to have somebody walk in and say, hey, I got a message for you. God heard your prayers. Not only did he hear your prayer, he saw your tears. He saw your tears. There's a song, poem out there somewhere, talks about collecting, God collecting your tears in a bottle or in a jar. I don't know about all that, but I know this. God has seen every tear this eye has ever shed. And he was interested in it. And he's interested in yours. This ought to be great encouragement to us. I've heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. He says, and I'm going to heal you. And 3 days from now, you're going to go up to the house of the Lord. He says in verse number 6, I'll add to your days 15 years. And my question is, what would change if God gave you 15 more years? What would change? Would you keep doing exactly the same thing you're doing with it? What would change? Then why give you 15 more years? What? When is it going to dawn on us? When's it going to dawn on us? Hey, maybe it's because the older I get, the faster the hands on that clock spin. Am I the only one that feels that way? This year, did it go as... I remember when I was a kid and I was, you know, 8, 9, 12, 17 years old. I couldn't stand it one Christmas to the other. It seemed like it would never get there. But how about now? Man, you better start shopping, right? Because tomorrow it'll be Christmas again if you live. That's the way I feel. The clock just keeps spinning, and it keeps spinning faster and faster and faster and faster. I think back on the last 20 years, and I think, whoo, boy, that went by fast. And I think about if there is the next 20 years, how fast will that go? How fast will that pass off? What are you going to do with the time God's given you? He's blessed you with a day. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. That's not true. You do know what to do. You have sat in Bible classes under Bible teachers who've done a marvelous job. You have read your Bible, and if you haven't, you have it. You have your Bible, and it tells you what to do with your life, how to spend your life, how to use your life in service to God. Don't give me this, well, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. But stop letting fear keep you from doing it. Well, I would do this, but I'm afraid I might fail. Listen, if you don't do it for the Lord, you already failed in it. You've already failed if you don't do it. Folks, get in line. Stop being like me, who yesterday, as we were coming through Cersei, barely said, I need to go spend $15. I said, what? She said, yeah, I need to spend $15. So I get off and I start down through this parking lot and I pull out in front of this guy. And the guy does this to me. I'm glad it was just that. But he did this to me. And I'm thinking, you're right. You know what he was saying to me? Make up your mind. If you want the left side, I'll take the right. If you want the right side, I'll take the left. But choose a lane. And that's what I'm saying to you. Choose a lane. Decide, I'm going to do something for the Lord. I'm going to use my years, however many there are. If it's one day, if it's 1 year, or if it's 15 years, or if it's 50 years, I'm going to use my years for the Lord. He gave him 15 more years. 15 more years. What are you going to do with the years you've been given? Read with me. He says, I'm going to add to your days 15 years, and I'm going to deliver you and this city out of the hands of the king of Assyria. I'll defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took the lump of figs and they laid it on the boil, and he recovered. So we get some idea about what the illness was. It had something to do with boils. Whatever this illness was that made him sick, it has something to do with boils. They take this lump of figs and lay it on the boils. And now we get something interesting. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I'll go up to the house of the Lord in 3 days? What's going to be the sign? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he's spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Now, folks, something here is fixing to happen that I don't understand. I'm going to tell you, I don't understand it. It's cosmic. It's miraculous. But Isaiah says to him, hey, here'll be your sign. That you're going to get well, and 3 days from now you're going to the house of the Lord. Here it is. The Lord, the God, is going to cause the sun to either go back 10 degrees or to go forward 10 degrees. Now, is he moving the sun or is he moving the earth? I don't know. I don't know which one it is for sure. How did he do it? I don't know. I've studied a little bit about this, and I've read some stuff, and I've read from some Christian guys that are supposed to know what they're talking about. And then, you know, they say, well, you know, this 10 degrees here for Hezekiah, and you couple that with the day the sun stood still for Joshua, and you put two together, and they're 24 hours. Folks, there's no proof of that. And we don't need that kind of junk anyway for me to know that God did this. He did it. He changed time for this guy. Watch what Hezekiah says. Verse 10, and Hezekiah answered, well, there's nothing big. It'd be no big thing. It's a light thing for the shadow to go down by 10 degrees. But let the shadow turn back 10 degrees. Yeah, right. It's no big deal for the shadow to turn forward 10 degrees. Really? Really? I mean, here's Hezekiah, and he's looking at the dial. That's what verse number 10, 11 says, the last phrase, the dial of Ahaz in the King James Version. Yours may say steps. If you're reading from another translation, there were all kinds of telling time. Sometimes it was a sundial. Other times there were steps that were built and a column that was built. So when the sun shone, as it changed from 1 hour to the next, the shadow of that column would fall on a different step. And it can be translated steps. I don't know which was what, but just imagine you're standing there looking at the steps, or you're looking at a sundial, and you say, well, it'd be no big deal for the shadow to go down one more step, or for the shadow to go forward 10 degrees. I want it to go back 10 degrees. And it goes back 10 degrees. I don't know about this asking for signs. I'll tell you, I think I've got all the signs I need. When Jesus Christ came and he died, and 3 days later he was raised from the dead, folks, that's all the sign I need. And when the men who wrote this book went up to temples, and there was a man who was sick from his lame from his mother's womb, and they spoke in the name of Jesus by his authority, and that man walked, and blind men were given sight. And a man who wrote more than half of the New Testament, half of those epistles, was bitten by a poisonous snake, and the people sat around and they didn't yell, go get the, where's the antidote? No, they just sat back and said, well, he's a dead man. And he didn't die. Folks, that's sign enough for me. This is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. So I'm not into this asking for signs and those kind of things. And I'm not even suggesting that you ought to do it. But folks, what are you going to do with the time God's given you? God said, I'm going to give you 15 years, he said, Hezekiah. I'm going to give you 15 years. Did a sign make that any more the way it was going to be? Of course not. Of course not. Now, I want to just read for you Isaiah 38, just a section out of Isaiah 38. I'm just going to read it for you, okay? Because how would you feel if you were told today, no more time, you're a dead man. You're a dead man. No more time. And then in just a few minutes, you pray this little prayer, and in just a few minutes, you're told, I got 15 years more. How would you feel? I don't have to wonder how Isaiah felt. I don't have to wonder. I mean, how Hezekiah felt. Isaiah records it for me. Isaiah, it's found in 38 and 39. This very story, almost word for word, except there's this little section where it tells what Hezekiah wrote after he was given 15 more years. So why don't you begin with me. I'm in Isaiah 38, and I'm reading beginning in verse number 9. The writings of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I'm deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He'll cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From the day even to the night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I mourned like a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward. Oh, Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly in all my years, in the bitterness of my soul. Oh, Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. 15 more years. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate you. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. He's alive. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. And Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Those are the things that Hezekiah wrote. These are his feelings he's pouring out on paper to us once he's been given the word. I got 15 more years. I was given 15 more years. It's the living that praise you. It's the living. But you know, folks, it's possible to be alive and not be alive. It's possible to be alive physically and dead spiritually. It's true of widows. Paul talks about them. Widows indeed. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 3. Widows indeed. Who are those widows indeed? Verse number 10. He tells us who they are. They've been the husband of one man. They've brought up children. They've washed the feet of the saints. They've assisted the afflicted. They've done all of these things. They're living. But he talks about a different kind of widow in verse number 6. He says there's another kind of widow. It's the kind who lives unto pleasure, and she's dead already. Now, if it's true for a widow, it'd be true for a widower. If it's true for somebody who has lost a mate, a husband and a wife, it'd be true for someone that still has a husband or a wife, or has never had a husband or a wife. If we live in pleasure, we're dead already. What are you going to do with your days? Well, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to tell you, give me 15 more years, I'm going to live it up. Hezekiah says it's the living that'll praise God. It's those that realize. Who realize? I've never been promised anything but the moment I'm living in right now. And how am I going to use it? And if God gives me another hour, I'll use it. And if God gives me another hour, I'll use it. What? For pleasure? Then you're dead already. You're not living. You're dead already. What are you going to do with it? Well, we need to find out what Hezekiah did with his 15 years. So go back with me to 2 Kings chapter 20, and we'll finish this thing up. I'm beginning in verse number 12, 2 Kings 20, verse number 12. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, who was the king of Babylon, he sent letters and a present to Hezekiah because he had heard that Hezekiah was sick. So the text had gone out. I guess they posted on Facebook, Hezekiah's sick. At least word had gotten back to the king of Babylon. Hezekiah's sick, and so he sends his messengers with a present for Hezekiah. Here's what Hezekiah did. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and he showed all the things that were in all the things of his house, of his precious things, the silver and the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah, and he said unto the king, what said these men? And where did they come from? And Hezekiah said, they come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said unto him, what have they seen in your house? And Hezekiah answered, well, all the things that are in my house they've seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I've not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that's in your house and that which your fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. What did Hezekiah do? He showed him everything that God had given him. You say, well, he shouldn't have done that. Hey, wait a minute. Remember, this guy is living. You ever been down? I mean down, where you didn't know whether you were coming back or not. I mean down. Shortly after my dad died, the next spring, I went to my mom's house. I'm going to change the lawnmower blades for her. I guess Dad never changed the lawnmower blade because it was rusted on there. I'm telling you, it was rusted on there. I put my feet hard against that blade and I pulled with all my might. And I heard it when it popped. It snapped. And immediately I went to my knees and I knew I was hurt. I knew I was. I stopped right then. I went home and I told Beverly, I said, well, you know, it was a Saturday. I'm hurt. I've hurt myself. She said, well, you have to wait till Monday. You know, doctor's office not open till Monday. Oh, you know. So we waited till Monday. Folks, by the end of that day, now I'm left-handed. By the end of that day, my left arm had shrunk in size. I had no muscle, nothing. So we go to the doctor on Monday. The doctor says, well, I'm going to send you to a surgeon for consultation. Okay, let's get it set up. Man, my arm's going to nothing. Let's get it set up. He said it'll be 2 weeks. What? By the time 2 weeks passed, folks, I couldn't move my fingers. I had no strength at all in my dominant arm. We go to that doctor, ask Beverly. He does some x-rays. He calls me in. He says, well, we got two things we can do. One, we can try treating this with medication, which I don't know whether it'll work or not. Or we can try surgery. He hadn't got out to try surgery until I said, get it done. Surgery. He said, well, that'll be 2 weeks. I said, no. I'm telling you, I can't wait 2 weeks. I've already waited two. I've lost my arm. I can't wait 2 weeks. At any rate, they moved me up, got me in there early, removed that little piece of bone that had stuck right between my disc and that nerve. As soon as I came out from under all that stuff, I told Beverly, I'm better. He said, well, you need to do some rehab. If you'll do this rehab, folks, he told me, do this many things a day. Do this many things a day. However many it was, I did three times that many. I wanted my arm back. What do you think? How do you think I'm going to act now that I got use of that arm again? Well, I'm going to lay back and take it easy. I'm going to use that arm up, folks. I'm going to be among the living. I'm going to use that arm up. This is Hezekiah. He's among the living. Let me show you what God has done for me. I just told you what God did for me. Let me show you, Hezekiah says, what God has done for me. Let me show you the treasures of my house. Let me show you all of these things. Was it a mistake? Sure, it was a mistake. But you can't hardly blame the guy. He's living. He's living. I read with you. Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days will come that all that's in thine house and that which is thy father's has laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons that shall issue from me, which thou shalt beget. Wait a minute. He's talking about kids that he ain't had yet. When are they going to be born? Sometime during this next 15-year period. He's talking to him about kids he ain't had yet. Isaiah, the Lord says through Isaiah, the sons which thou shalt issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, they'll take them away. And they'll be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Look up eunuch. And, you know, it's not a pleasant thing. Sometimes it doesn't mean exactly what we think it means, but hey, it's not pleasant any way you want to look at it. But I'm to verse 19. We're almost through. I'm to verse 19. Then said Hezekiah unto the Lord. Here it is. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. What? You just said that the day is coming when everything's going to be carried away. Even my sons that I hadn't had yet, and they're going to be made eunuchs. Good is the word of the Lord. But notice why. This just struck me a few weeks ago as we were looking through on Sunday nights, all that stuff. Look at this. It is, Hezekiah says, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? In effect, here's what he's saying. You said you're going to deliver, God has said he's going to deliver us from the king of Assyria. That was early in the chapter. He's going to deliver us in the king of Assyria. He's going to deliver us right now. He's going to deliver us. In the lifetime of my sons, they'll be carried away to Babylon. But what about my 15 years? What about those 15? You see, folks, I'm not in control of everything. I'm not in control of everything. I want my kids to go to heaven. But I'm not in control of that. I hope something rubs off on them. I believe that it has, but I'm telling you, they make their own decisions. I hope my grandkids go to heaven. I'm doing my best. But you know what? They make their own decisions. But you know what? During my days, there can be peace and truth, no matter what they decide. You understand what I'm saying to you? That you're not in control of all of that. But you are in control of the time that God has given you, and there can be peace and truth in your lifetime. When are we going to get that through to us? When are we going to come to the realization? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There'll be peace and truth during my lifetime. There'll be peace and truth. Maybe some of that will rub off. And it'll be carried on to the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that. But at least during my lifetime, there'll be peace and truth. Someone says, well, there's never been anybody in my family that's ever been true to the Lord. It's always been havoc in my house. Then break the havoc. Let it start with you. What are you going to do with the time you've been given? You use it. Let it be said, hey, at least for that period of time in my family heritage, at least for that period of time, there was peace and truth. There was peace and truth. I can't do anything about the past. I can't do anything much about the future. Maybe influence it a little bit, but it's up to them. But I can guarantee you, during my stay here on this earth, whether it's one day, 1 year, or 15 years, or 50 years, there can be grace and truth in my time. And it can be in yours as well. Verse 20. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are written in the books of the Chronicles of Judah. There's something Hezekiah did with the last 15 years of his life. It's recorded for us. He built a pool and he built an aqueduct to bring water into the city. Mike talked to us about it just last Sunday morning, Hezekiah's aqueduct. It's still in place today, still transporting water today. God gave him 15 years. What did he do? Well, I'm going to take it easy for the next 15 years. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to retire. I'm not going to do anything. Well, why should he give you 15 more years then? Hezekiah said, I'll put my 15 years to work. There'll be peace and truth during my 15 years. I'll build an aqueduct. I'll dig a pool. But then it says, and Hezekiah died. He died. He was laid with all those who'd gone before him. And Manasseh reigned in his stead. We're all going to die. You say, well, you know, how much time have I got? I don't know. You don't know. That's not the issue. The issue is not how much time. What are you going to do with that time? I give you one illustration, and then we're through. If I have a brick of gold, and I have a brick of gold, and it's, I don't know, if it's 12 inches long, and it's 2 inches thick, you got a long brick of gold. And let's say it weighs, I don't know what it would weigh, let's say it weighs 40 pounds. What if you shortened that brick of gold? Instead of being 12 inches long, you made it 6 inches long, but you made it thicker. And it weighed 40 pounds. Which one's more valuable? The long stick of gold that weighed 40 pounds or the short stick of gold that weighed 40 pounds? Which one's more valuable? You know the answer. Let me ask you, which one's more valuable? A long life that's lived in pleasure to ourselves and really just doing what we want to do, really rocking along, but you lived a long life. A long life for what? Well, so my grandkids could know me. And who are they going to know? Somebody who'd give up and quit and sat back and did nothing? Not my grandkids. I'm telling you, not my grandkids. I refuse. That is not happening with this guy. And I'm trying to convince you, don't let it happen with you either. You say, why are you so stirred up? I'll tell you why, folks, because this may be the last time you ever hear me. Something could happen to you or something could happen to me, but I'll guarantee you, you are not going to die on my watch without hearing it. Stop wasting your life. Stop wasting the days that God has given you. He's given you another 2017. Maybe He's given you the whole year. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Use it. Use it for the purpose you've been put here for. Use it to serve God. Well, I don't know. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you don't, get your Bible down and sit down with a notepad and a pencil and your Bible and get in a room all by yourself and start reading till you find out. Because it's in there. It's in there. Which ones, they're worth the same. It doesn't matter whether I live to be 100 and I do very little for the cause of Christ for 100 years or whether I live to be 63. But I filled that 63 years with service to God. They're valuable. So let's use it. Let's use the time that God has given us. For some of you, it means starting right now. Starting right now. You've been wasting the time you've been given. You're not even a Christian yet. It's time for you to become a Christian. Begin to use those days that God has given you. It begins by confessing with your mouth your faith in Jesus. I know you're a believer. I know you're a believer. And folks, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you'll repent of those sins. You'll repent of that. It needs now for you to begin with a confession with your mouth that we know you believe so that we can baptize you into Jesus Christ. That for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you go and you live out the days of your life the way God intended for you to live. Don't waste them. Don't waste them. You say, well, I've done that. Then what are you going to do, Christian, with the rest of the days that God has given you? Use them toward love and toward good works. Use them. This morning, we're here together as God's people. We're ready to help someone become a child of God who's not. We're ready to help you. We're ready also to assist those of us who are brothers and sisters in Christ with the needs they have in their lives and to encourage us, to encourage one another, not to waste our days, but to use them up in the cause of Christ. If we can help and assist you in any way, we'd ask that you let us know by stepping out of one of the aisles and make your way to the front. Do that as Jake leads us in a song. Let's stand together.